Welcome to the Future of Business podcast. Today's audio is brought to you from the Facebook Live audio that I took while I was out on the trail walking my dogs. Enjoy.
Good morning. Out with the pooches. They were cooped up yesterday because they didn't get out for their long run, so they're a little feisty this morning. It's a little chilly. Cows. My Facebook thing said cows. Hey, Ben. Out here, the cows are just chilling. It's funny. Dogs. Hey, Tracy. Hey, Robin. It's funny with dogs, though, or my dogs. They won't care about these cows at all. But if we were driving, the dogs would go nuts. They'd be like, bark, bark, bark. They're all tough. So what I've done sometimes, it's kind of funny, is I'll be with Bowie. And he'll be like barking at the dogs or the cows, and then I'll stop the car and I'll pull it over and I'll like open the window and he'll just like shut up completely. He'll just be like, doesn't know what to do. And then you start driving away and the dogs go crazy again. So that's kind of entertaining. If you have dogs, try that sometime. There was like this little cow out on Highway 6 close to here, and I would when I owned my dog daycare, I would drive that road every day, and when I would take Avalanche, she would bark at this statue cow and every day. And it was crazy because this highway, I'd probably be on it for 20 minutes and I would be driving for maybe 15. Avalanche could be sleeping. She would get up just before it and bark like crazy and then go lie down. It was I would close the windows, I would turn the air conditioning off. I would try everything just to see if it smells, what it is, but she could be at the daycare for 10 hours running exhausted, and I would be driving down this road and she would do it. Same thing with, there's this another thing on that road where they've got these massive statues. If you're from this area, you probably know what I'm talking about. And she'll bark at these dinosaurs as well. And I've driven in there and let her out, and she's like right by them. And you're like, I'm not barking. You can maybe see those cows just chilling. Up here, there's actually a, I can't get there, the puddle. There's like a little fox den up there. It was used, I think, a couple times 2 years ago, but foxes will actually move around a little bit. And I think there's an active den back there again this spring, so hopefully we see some little foxes. But anyway, enough about cows and foxes. What I want to talk about, some of you maybe seen this logo, Lost Bandit. I don't know if it's backwards for you guys, but what is Lost Bandit? I designed and created my own inflatable stand-up paddleboard, which I'm stoked about. Tiff and I love paddleboarding. Tiff and I actually made fun of paddleboarding when we first started seeing it. We're like, that kind of looks lame. Just out standing there in the middle of the water and kind of paddling. And then we tried it and we loved it because it's so relaxing. You get out away from everybody and it's peaceful. It's a full body workout, but it can be as relaxing as you want, because you can just kind of chill out there, paddle slow, or you can like paddle as hard as you want, and it can be tiring. So I designed these inflatables, working with a manufacturer on it. I found one that I really liked, and the quality and the design behind it, and I kind of based mine off of that one and changed a few features. And it, of course, coming from the dog world, it will be designed with dogs in mind, which I'm stoked about. And I got two samples before we went to Mexico, and the quality, and this is what I was concerned about, because I see a lot of inflatables on the market and some of the quality is a little bit sketchy, and they showed up and the quality was way better than I thought, so I'm stoked about it. So those will be coming to the market shortly. I'm doing a pre-launch for them. I'll be selling 10 at a huge discount, just the first 10. So if anybody wants an inflatable, shoot me a message and I can give you the details on those. And then I will be launching the full stuff, full price, everything, probably in, it's still cold around here, so no one's going to want to be in the water before probably end of April. So I will have more info on that. Now, Michael, Justin, Brian, hey everybody, Tracy. Hope you're having an awesome Monday morning. I love Mondays because there's nobody on the trails. And hey, Belinda. And it's just peaceful out here. So, Facebook Live for Business. Let's get into some boring business stuff. If you have a business, if you have a personal brand, if you have anything, if you're breathing and exist on this planet, you need to be doing Facebook Live. Why? Because that is how people are going to see you. That's how people are going to understand who you are. And now, in this world, people would rather work with somebody they know, work with someone they trust, work with someone that they know a little bit about, and they would pay more money to work with someone they know than to just work with some random person that they have no clue about them. It's what we do. We go and we find out about someone, we search them, we go to Facebook, we search their business, we creep on them. If you're getting hired for or doing an interview, what do you think the boss does? They probably kind of read your resume, but then they go to try to find you on social media and be like, who is this person really? And it was funny, I did a test a year ago, maybe 2 years ago now, where I applied to some jobs and I found three jobs that were kind of similar, and I wrote up a resume and I sent it to all of them. Just general resume, your regular, what I've done, blah, 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 blah. Didn't hear back from any of them. Then, about, it was probably 4 months later, I created another resume. But then what I did is on the bottom, I put my social media or my Instagram. And I was like, check me out here on Traveling Dog. And what I did is before I sent them, I posted a bunch of stuff that would be relevant to that job. And one of them was like, a travel agency. Another one was doing social media for a mechanic shop. And so they were all random. They were all kind of social media stuff. And by putting that, I was telling them, hey, I've got nothing to hide. Go check it out. Now, I'm guessing when I sent it, they went there and they're like, I'm going to check them out. And they went there. They maybe saw some videos, some pictures, and I got calls back from two of those three saying, we want to do interviews. And it was just a test. So I said, sorry, I'm not interested anymore. But think about that the next time. Social media is the new resume. The whole old school resume stuff, that's kind of a thing of the past. Because everyone's looks the same and people are just like, yeah. Who are you really? We don't really care what credentials you have. I'm obviously in some fields it matters, but social media is your new resume. Facebook Live, in your business, even not in your business. A lot of my lives are from my personal page, which if you're actually doing, which I'll get into in a second, if you're actually trying to do a social media strategy to sell something, to build your brand, you should actually do it from your business page. Why should you do that? The reason is you can eventually start targeting with Facebook ads. You can target the people that have watched any part of your video. So let's say one strategy that I suggest to people is, yes, get over the camera shyness. Exactly. People, this whole camera thing, it can be nerve-wracking. 2 years ago, I would have never done this. I would have never talked on a camera. I hated it. Now I just do it because I know I have to. So one of my strategies is actually do Facebook Lives, do regular videos, put them on your Facebook page, and then you can do, if you don't know much about Facebook ads, you can simply do boost post to the videos that have value. So exactly like I'm doing right now, I'm trying to give you some value on Facebook stuff. So you're watching this video, and if I was using this as my marketing strategy, and I was doing it for my business page, and you were watching this, you would, later on today, or the next day, whatever, you would start seeing ads from me. That would maybe be, and this is a strategy I've used, I take five different topics, maybe questions that you have, like not getting the organic reach you wish you would have on Facebook, or not sure why, or want to find out how to get more clients in your business, blah, 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 and then you watch these videos, then what I do is I have ads that are just waiting, targeting the people that are watching any part of my video. Got that? Facebook has really changed how retargeting works, and it's crazy what you can do. You can target anybody that has ever engaged with your page. Now, listen, it doesn't have to be people that have said they like your page, people that have engaged. So if someone shared, commented on your post and one of their friends saw it and they liked that, they have now engaged with your page. They haven't said they liked it. So you can target people that have engaged with your page. Now, let's say there are, this is getting a little bit deeper, but stick with me. Let's say there are 500 people that have engaged with your page in the last year, because you can target up to 365 days. Now what you can do, so say that's 500 people. Awesome. You can target those people. You can hit 500 people with $5-$10, depending what industry you're in and how competitive it is. Now you're like, okay, cool. So now I've targeted those 500, but I've gotten some interest, but now I'd like to expand that, because when it comes to social media ads, once you find something that works, you want to be able to scale that so that you can sell obviously more stuff. What you do is it's called a lookalike audience. You take that audience of 500 people that have engaged and you tell Facebook, can you make another audience by looking at this 500 and create an audience of other people similar to them? So Facebook looks at the 500 and they go, oh, okay, 90% of these people are women between the ages of 30 and 40 that like cats and that live in the Hamilton area. Facebook will take all of the information and they will break it down into another audience that'll be like Canada-wide or US-wide, whatever you choose, and it'll be similar people to those 500. So now this is fairly targeted. Lookalike audiences, if you're not using them in your marketing, they can be great, so check those out. Facebook Live, you'll get more organic reach with them, and you get people watching videos longer. So some of you have watched more than 30 seconds of this, and I thank you for that. That's awesome. If I would be just shooting this and then upload it later when I got home, you probably would watch hardly any of it. But you're like, oh, live. Something could happen. A raccoon could jump out of the trees, and who knows? Just like on TV, they do live, like a live car chase, and people will watch it, or live building on fire or something, or a standoff or something. People watch live video because it's like something could happen, and they'll watch for hours, they'll watch the news, there's nothing going on here, but something could happen. So think about that when you're doing lives. That's kind of it. It's a little chilly out here today, but there's no wind. But summer is on its way, I think. Still here, awesome Belinda. Thanks a lot for watching. It is Monday, start of a new week. Do something new, do something fun. This is, do something with your personal brand. Listen, if you have a job, if you are waiting for raccoons to jump out, I know, me too. If you are just kind of going through the paces and working somewhere that maybe you enjoy it some days, but you're like, this is not what I'm going to be doing in 5 years. When I was working at a machine shop, I would tell people that all the time. Oh yes, tomorrow night I will be in, thanks for reminding me, Michael. Tomorrow night I'm going to be in Barrie. I'm going to be speaking to some DJs, and I'm stoked about it. I've got some new content and talking about social media and building your brand through that. So I will see you there, Michael. So when I worked at the machine shop, I would ask people, I'm like, and the lunchroom was just filled with like negativity, and people were like, oh, gotta go back to work, I hate this, oh, it's only Monday, blah, blah, blah. And people are like dreaming People are dreaming of having a new job. And it'll be like, in 5 years, I'm not going to be here. I would say the same thing. Guess where I was and everyone else in 5 years? In that same break room, saying the same things. And it's kind of sad. If today you're telling yourself, in 5 years, I'm not going to be where I am now, if you don't do something today to get closer to doing something else, you're going to be there in 5 years from now. It's just the facts. So think about what you want to do. If you have a job and you're okay with it, you are in the perfect position to start your own thing and to start building your own brand. Why? Because you can go to work and get paid. What do you work? 8-10 hours a day? That's not even half of the day. You can go home and start working on your knitting, your painting, your motorcycle building, whatever you want to do, you can start building that. And you've got from 5 o'clock till midnight to work on that. How easy it is. It's so easy to work on something when you're passionate about it. And you can work, I often work well into the evening. Sometimes all of a sudden it's 2 a.m. and I'm like, oh my goodness, I gotta go to bed. And so start, hey Bo, I'm talking. Thank you. So start working on your passion, start working on something that you love, and eventually it will turn into something. Look at Traveling Pint, for example. Just like, I love craft beer, and she started writing about it. She took 1 month when she started, month of December. She's like, I'm gonna do an advent calendar. I'm going to have a new beer every day. I'm gonna taste it, I'm gonna write about it, and if by the end of the month, doing this every day, if I still enjoy it, then I'm gonna keep going. And 2 years, two and a bit years later, here she is, has a great following, is doing all kinds of different beer things, has went to beer school, is doing tastings and judging and all kinds of stuff. And it's amazing. But if you would have looked, if 2 years ago, there's no way she would have thought she would be doing what she's doing now. Just because it's not possible. So start doing something. Hey, Bo, are you rolling in shit? No, good. Start doing something today that will further you towards something that you might enjoy. Your boss right now can you at any second. It's crazy. I have too many friends that have been canned in the last month. I took a gamble and quit my job. 16 years, love working on my own. Amazing, amazing. It's crazy what you can do when you just quit your job. I worked at a machine shop / welding shop, and I worked there. I have a long story of, I started working at when I was 13 years old, counting bearings in a machine shop, and I was living my dream because my brother worked there, and it was my dream to be a machinist like him. I worked there, and by the time I was 17, 16 in high school, I was a shop supervisor. I went to school, and then I would be out at 3 o'clock or 2:30. I would walk there, and I would work from 3 till 1 in the morning, and I was the supervisor. I was the supervisor of 6 to 7 grown men between the ages of 45 and 60, and I was in charge of them, making sure their CNC machines were running, and if something was wrong, I would fix it. And then at 1 in the morning, I would go home, sleep a little, and then I went to school, and I did that. I ended up getting... after a while, I ended up getting sick. I got mono. I was told I had to do nothing for a month, which was the hardest month of my life, because as a kid, I was just go, 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 and working. And then I ended up going to college for mechanical engineering, and I dropped out because after a year and a half, and I was like, this isn't what I want to do. And I worked in that field for a little bit in a new company, got to a point where I was supervisor there, and all of a sudden I was like, I can't do this. I need to be outside. And in my head, I did this for like 3 years. I'm like, I need to be outside. I need to do something. And then I was getting a dog. And I used to watch this show called At the End of My Leash. And it's a guy, dog trainer, kind of like Cesar Millan and type of thing where you work with dogs. And so I would watch this show and the guy was coming to Toronto. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go there. And just because I think it'll be fun. And I didn't have my dog yet, but dog was coming in a few weeks. And what he did with the dogs fascinated me. I was like, but it wasn't what he did with the dogs, it was what he did with the humans. He's like, the humans were held accountable of all the dog's actions and what was going on. And I'm like, this is crazy, this is so cool. Then at the end he said, I'm training people to become trainers. And I'm like, oh, what if I did that? And I come from machinist engineering background, nothing to do with these little crazy fluffy animals. Told myself, so this guy was from out in BC, and that's where the course was. The course was like $6,000 or something, and I would have to be out there for 2 months. And I'm like, I can't afford that. So I told myself, if he comes to Toronto to do a course, I would quit my job, I would take the course, and I would become a dog trainer. And I said this because I thought I was safe. 2 weeks later, sitting at my desk, I get an email saying, coming to Toronto, now taking applications for the course. And I'm like, damn it. I told myself I have to do this. I was so close to backing out. If I would have waited a day to make my decision, I probably would have backed out. But I stood up, walked to my boss's office, and I said, I'm quitting. And he's like, looks at me, he's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, he's like, what are you gonna do? I'm like, I'm gonna become a dog trainer. He's like, what do you know about dogs? And I'm like, I know nothing, but I'm doing it. The course was in 2 months. I gave a 2 month notice and quit my job. My thoughts behind this were, so I was doing a lot of 3D design, CAD, and I was like, I'm gonna start my own little CAD business, designing for machine shops, and then I'll do dog training on the side. Well, the day I quit was around the time there was a big manufacturing crash. So there was no shops, nobody was getting out of house designs done. I honestly got maybe 3 jobs that totaled maybe $1,500, and that was it. And did the dog training. I was forced to make the dog training work. So I'm so thankful there was that crash and I got no work, because I was like, I had car payments. I had a mortgage. So I made the dog training work. I went out there. I spent hours just handing out cards, hanging out at the mall, outside the mall with my dog, and anybody that had a, that would come over, dog people would come over. I'd talk to them. I'd go to the dog park, did all kinds of stuff. And then I eventually went and needed something to do during the day, because dog training was mostly evenings and weekends. I opened my dog daycare, and at the time of quitting my job, I had no thoughts of opening a daycare. I would have, if you would have told me I would do that, I would have been like, there's not a chance. Opened a dog daycare and ran that for 2 to 3 years. It's still running, but I left that 3 years ago. I sold it 3 years ago and started getting into social media marketing. Why did I get into social media? I wanted to get into the digital space where you can work from anywhere. And that was my goal. I wanted to be a location independent business so that can travel more and just be a little bit more flexible. So enter, I took a year to basically study social media, study internet marketing, did some internet marketing, all kinds of stuff. And that's kind of where I am at now. And I love it. So don't be afraid to quit your job like Eric, like so many other people do. When you quit your job, they're getting feisty. When you quit your job, it's crazy what doors open up. You can't even, at one point when you're working, you can't even see these doors. The possibility, you can't even think that could be an option. But the second you close the door, other doors will open and you'll get to a point where, and I had this issue, get to a point where there's too many options. And if you try to take them all, you will run yourself thin. And that is bad news bears as well. So focus on what you want. If you're, I'm not telling you to quit your job, because not everybody works well under stress. Not everybody is like needs, is motivated by that fear of not being able to pay their mortgage, and they get off their butt and they work their ass off to make it work. Not everybody works that way. So if you're not that way, I'm saying don't quit your job. Don't take your job, do your job, don't stress about it. And then at 5 o'clock when you shut that door and you go home, it's on to your other thing. Focus on that. Focus on that. Leave your work at work. Even if you're, doesn't matter what you're doing, even if you're not trying to build something else, leave your work at work. And if, I don't know what you want to do, if you want to be a hiker, go hiking and just see what's out there and start documenting your hiking. Start, look at, if you know Nathan Pray from the Pray for Nathan show, check, if you don't, check him out on Facebook. What does he do? He starts documenting his trips, his canoe trips, his nature stuff. Who do I think about when I think about canoeing and nature and knowing stuff about water? It's that guy. Why is it that guy? Because he posts it on social media and he has a job, but when he talks about things, when you see stuff on Facebook, it's his passion. It's not bitching about his job. He's like, that's work. Now, there's another, quit the 9 to 5, 16 years, never look back, retired now, do my, feed my passion, amazing. I've been offered, yeah, it's crazy. Think about your future and what you want to do. Now, I was in Mexico, Tiff and I were in Mexico with Kevin and Mandy. Kevin's an awesome guy. If you can ever sit down with him and pick his brain and just listen to him, you'll learn a lot of stuff. And you'll learn a lot of stuff about, like, cats and all kinds of random stuff, too, which is entertaining. But he said to me, and I think he got it from someone else maybe, and we always go to people, new people, maybe it's at a networking thing, and we ask people, what do you do? And if I were to ask you, what do? You would take that as, you would say, well, I'm an accountant. Well, I'm a graphic designer here, or I pump gas here. And everybody assumes, hey, Wendy, morning, Tiffany. you would assume I'm asking you, where do you work? And that's how we're programmed. It's like, what do you do? And it was, Kevin brought this up and I love it because it stuck so much. It's next time someone asks you what you do, tell them Kevin is awesome. Yes. Oh, there's another Kevin on here saying another Kevin's awesome. Awesome. So what you do is not, it's not what you do for work. What you do is, next time someone asks you is I go hiking and I love paddleboarding, or, I love, sipping tequila and smoking cigars. Or when someone asks you what you do, it's not your job. Don't tell them what you do for work. It'll throw them off. It'll actually spark more conversation and just be like, I love sipping tequila and smoking cigars. What do you do? And people will be like, ah. So at your next networking event, ask people what they do. And when they start talking about their job, just cut them off and be like, no. What do you do after 5? And you'll get to know the person a lot more. So I may be rambling on now. I hope you guys are doing awesome. Like always, if you have any Facebook, social media questions regarding your business, your personal brand. Tracy on here somewhere said, doors open, please. Tracy, let's talk. We'll just do like a private one-on-one chat sometime. I don't know when my next next workshop is going to be. So let's just sit down sometime. And you're like, doors open, please. So just keep doing what you're doing. And don't be afraid to change it up a little bit and go outside of the box and talk to different people, and doors will keep opening. So social media, if you have any questions, let me know. Hey, Bowie. Actually, I'm not worried. Here, right here is like a little fork in the road, and it's cold, so I'm not worried. But sometimes down there, so if there's any cyclists out here, you cyclists, stop taking a dump on this trail, because Bowie likes rolling in human feces, which he doesn't do too often, but it's rather disgusting. And down that little trail, I think people go just tuck around there. The cyclists can't hold it. So that's nasty. But social media, if you have any questions, shoot me a message. I have my inflatable paddle boards. I have two samples right now. I was just on the talking to the manufacturer this morning, and we're making some changes, and I'm super excited about it. You dog owners should be as well. If you would like to get one of the first 10 with a discount, take a bag. Yeah, it's nasty. Put the whole dog in the bag with just his head out. Then shoot me a message if you want that, and go for a hike. Walk your dog. Take a breath. Listen to your favorite song as loud as you can. It will change your whole day. And got anything to say, Avalanche? Nothing? Peace. Have an awesome week. See ya.